Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is hit. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, major NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, it's almost game day again, so we're going to dispense with the pleasantries. It's a loaded show. The fastest hour in radio is back. We're going to talk. Is Nebraska going to be 5-1 come Saturday night? The Savannah Bananas are coming to Lincoln. Are you excited, Jake?
I'm pumped.
My 14-year-old daughter got excited about this. Her favorite time of the year, I swear to God, is the day after the Super Bowl because football's over. But, man, when she found out the Savannah Bananas were coming, she was excited. We're going to talk about that. Bill Belichick is, we're going to talk about just Bill Belichick in general. No real reason, right, Jake? No news. Okay. No,
yeah.
And then college football's crazy, insane weekend. It's a loaded slate. Like, it is crazy, the college football games this weekend. All right, real quick. The Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Suizo Construction, where safety isn't just a policy, it's a promise. Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, concrete workers, steel erectors, and they value quality work and a team that has your back both on and off the job site. Apply today at Suizo.com. 40 years strong in business. Suizo Construction. Also, our good friends at Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's HamiltonTEL.com. All right, Jake. So we have the number one pass defense in the country, as we know. Opponents are completing about 50% of their passes against us. You look back from guys like Sorsby and everybody we played this year. Every single one of them has had their least amount of yards in a passing game in a passing football game, the game they played us. We are 5-for-5 at holding opposing quarterbacks to season low in passing yards. There's Maryland offense, young true freshman quarterback, a guy who's, man, he's dynamic. I tell you what, he's a good player. He's a true freshman. Maryland throws the ball 42 times a game. So it is a team that throws the ball over 40 times a game versus number one pass defense in the country. It's John Butler, who had the number one pass defense for 5 straight years in the world, in the NFL, with the Buffalo Bills as their secondaries coach versus a true freshman. I like that matchup. Now, we've talked about this conversely earlier this week. It goes both ways. We've given up the second most amount of sacks of any team in the entire Big Ten, 12 in the past 2 games in our 2 Big Ten conference games, 12 combined versus Michigan, Michigan State. They lead the Big Ten in sacks with 19 on the season. They're top 5 in the country. So, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. What they do well, we haven't done great at getting after quarterback, protecting the quarterback. What they want to do, we're great at stopping. They want to throw the ball, we're great at stopping the throw. So it's going to be key matchups right there. We're not great in the red zone. They're great on red zone defense. They're terrible on third down offense, last in the Big Ten, just like they're last in the Big Ten when it comes to rushing offense. We're amongst the best in the country in third down defense. They're number 1 in the Big Ten in turnover margin. We're number 2. In the Big Ten and turnover margin at plus 6 on the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because there's so many factors that are going to play into this. You look at the quarterback comparison head-to-head directly. Dylan Raiola's thrown for 1,331 yards, a 74.2% completion percentage, 12 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, pretty good TD to interception ratio. All right. Maryland's young quarterback, 1,257 yards passing, 60.1 completion percentage, 9 touchdowns, 2 INTs. It has been pointed out to me that a lot of those sacks and a lot of those passing yards came against whatever you want to call their non-conference slate, not hard. You know, at least we had Cincinnati, which at the time was like, we don't have the toughest non-conference slate. Now they're starting to look like a pretty decent team. I'm not going to sit here and pound the table for Akron and Houston Christian with all due respect, but people have pointed out that the sack numbers have dropped, although it's been 9 in their 2 conference games that they played Maryland, but they've dropped versus the initial 3 games, which they still had 10-3, 9-2. It hasn't dropped that much, and actually sacks per game, I feel like it went up, especially when they mollywop Wisconsin. I hope we curb stomp them. I hope we beat them good. I hope we beat them by double digits. I feel decent about the win. I don't feel decent at all about, hey, we're just going to roll up there and absolutely truck them, although we could, but I'm certainly not going to predict that. All right, special teams, as we know, has been a phenomenal edge for Nebraska so far this year. We have 3 block kicks on the season in 5 games so far, 2 punts and a field goal, a field goal attempt. That was Riley Van Poppel. Jameer Khan has the 2 block punts. We have a plus 263-yard advantage when it comes to punt returns versus punt coverage unit. We've returned the ball 263 total yards in our punt returns so far this season. We've allowed a net minus 1 when teams try to return punts against us. We've only had 1 team that even tried to return it against us. Archie Wilson is great at directional kicking, pinning the opponents deep. I think 9 times this year he's pinned opponents inside their 20-yard line. They don't even get a chance to return it. Only 1 return so far this year for negative 1 yard. All right. Kyle Cunanan, 27-27 on PAT, 7-8 on field goal attempts so far this year. And I am looking at a graphic. I wasn't even close. 12-20. Of Archie Wilson's punts on the season have landed inside the opponent's 20-yard line. And we are 13th nationally in average yards per punt return as well. The most since DeMorne Pearsonell in 2014. That's 11 years. That's a long time, but I'm glad we're kind of getting back to doing something we used to be pretty good at for a long time, and we seem to be getting good at it again, and that is being a threat in the return game. Williams Wanieri is a guy who's starting to emerge. I said multiple times in the offseason, to go to our pass rush. He had 1.5 sacks last week versus Michigan State. We had the defensive player of the week in the Big Ten and Deshaun Singleton. But he's a guy who's starting to emerge. I said all offseason, he's got the talent right now. He's got the talent right now to be all Big Ten. He's also got the potential to be a guy who doesn't play much. Simply because he was so raw, so talented, so inexperienced. The sky was high. The floor was low for this first season. Didn't know. One of the things you wonder about is the effort. How quickly does everything click up top? But what about the effort? Does he play hard? Is he lazy? What's he do? The dude plays like his hair is on fire. You watch him. He plays as hard as anybody on the field. I would say guys like Deshaun, guys like Dawson, Williams, Wanieri, those are the guys who kind of stand out to me. They're just their hair. Their entire head is on fire, running all over the place, trying to make plays on the field. All right, you look at the defensive line grades from the Michigan State game and how that might project going forward into the Maryland game, according to our good and trusted buddies at Pro Football Focus, right? Yep. Yeah, that's right. They told me Santa was real. Should I believe them?
No comment.
Does your son listen to the show?
He might be listening.
Okay. Santa's real. All right. I have 1 left out of 6. One believer left.
Oh, do you?
I have 1.
Nice.
I think last year was the last year, though.
Oh, you think it's not going to make it till this year?
There was a lot of questions last year, and we wanted to eke out 1 more year, mostly because we're sentimental, mom and dad, and it's our last one.
Yeah,
it's our when she doesn't believe it's over. Yeah, I think last year was the last year. There was a lot of questions that I successfully ducked. I don't know if I can continue to duck them. All right, back to the topic at hand. When it comes to team defensive line grades, versus Michigan State again. Pro Football Focus, our good and trusted buddies. The run defense, Williams Wanieri graded out at 73.7, which was first on the D-line. Pass rush, Wanieri, 73.6, first on the D-line. Tackling Wanieri, 76.5, which is first on the D-line. Overall, his grade was 74.7, which was also first on the D-line. Hence why he's in a black shirt now. If you weren't aware of that, he's earned it. 6 quarterback pressures, 5 tackles, and again, 1.5 sacks. Nobody says 1.5 when you're talking about sacks. All right. You look at this. We win versus Maryland. To me, this is the game within the game. I've said this before. I'm going to reiterate it quickly. We have the talent composite ranking advantage. Like, we're the more talented team. We are. I had a Maryland fan come at me online, where everything is truth, knowledge, and fact-based, and goes, how can you say it's not even close? I said, look, it's not even close. We also have the coaching experience edge. And then I followed up by saying, I also have no idea if we're going to win the game. I think the process to finding out who the actual better football team is, which is the team that scores at least one more point than the other team on the field, I think that's actually going to be very close. The game within the game. Can we get them off the field on third downs? Can we capitalize when we get in the red zone and score? Can we win the turnover battle? That may be as big a thing as anything else, because to this point this year, both teams have successfully navigated the turnover department. Hence why both teams are 4-1. Neither team has just ran through either one of their schedules, barring a couple of non-conference games. Maryland's ran through theirs a little bit more than we've ran through ours, but ours is a little bit tougher as well. Like, the turnover department could be a huge factor in this game. I still think it comes down to the biggest thing for us, protecting Dylan Raiola. The biggest thing for Maryland, if you don't even want to try to run the football, 93 yards a game. I mean, I've complained about our rushing yards. Theirs is even lower. And they're dead last in the Big Ten in rushing on offense. They don't even want to try to run. If you're going to rely on a true freshman quarterback and you're going to go against the number one pass defense in the country, whether we end the season number one in the country or not, I don't know, but it's an elite pass defense. That's their key matchup. Can we protect our quarterback? Can their quarterback successfully navigate passing the ball? Unless they all of a sudden want to try to run the ball, which could happen. We are 101st in the country in stopping the run, albeit much improved last week. Can you do it consistently? Those are the big matchups along with turnovers. Then you got the game within the game, red zone, third downs, things of that nature. He's not like a dual threat quarterback. Malik Washington, their true freshman quarterback, but he can make plays with his legs. If I were to throw one more thing out there, we have not successfully navigated containing a quarterback that can make plays with their legs yet. Aiden Childs, 2 rushing touchdowns. Bryce Underwood, a rushing touchdown. Sorsby, he did what Sorsby does, and he did it to us a little bit with his legs too. Almost 100 yards rushing, the Cincinnati quarterback. So the question is, Malik doesn't run as much as any of those guys, but he can. How can we handle that? All this game within the game this week. Because if you just look at the talent composite ranking, it's us. If you look at the coaching experience, it's us. You factor in the road trip. You factor in the first road game of the season. You factor in. I had a fan come at me, and they're like, why are you even acting like it's going to be close? I was like, they're like, it's Maryland. I was like, do you remember what happened the last time we played Maryland? They're like, no. 13-10 in Lincoln. They won. Just FYI. Just don't act like it's a given. I feel like it should be, with all due respect. This is a Maryland team that was one of the worst teams in the Big Ten last year. They were destroyed by the transfer portal. They're starting a true freshman quarterback, and somehow they're better. Like, it's fair to say that they are legit better. I don't know how they did it. Props to them. I want to study what they did last offseason, this upcoming offseason. And then I'll write a rule, a memo, and he can print it out and throw it away or delete the email instead of going through the process of printing out and throw it away. That would be just if you wanted to make a point to me. My point is, this is not a gimme, even though we could easily win by double digits. Jake, what do you got, my friend? Now, we're going to give our predictions at the end, along with all the top college football games for this weekend, as always, okay? And we're going to wait to give our actual prediction until the end. And think about this. If Nebraska does win, we're 5-1. Think about that, Jake. We're 5-1. An absolute worst-case scenario at the end of October. Unless we want a Penn State and UCLA, this bad boy, when we host Northwestern, is 6-2. And 7-1 becomes insanely realistic. But let's start with, will Nebraska be 5-1 on Saturday night? What's your keys, your breakdown? We'll give our prediction at the end.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Again, remember, this is Nebraska's first true road game. So, you know, that might bother Nebraska a little bit. Maryland's been pretty good in first quarters. So maybe a slower start, a possibility for the Huskers as well. But I really think, Maryland needs to channel their inner Biff Poggi and run their quarterback a little bit more this week. He's a guy that, as you mentioned, he can make plays with his legs, but prefers to do it with his arm. So a lot of times scrambling to kind of wait to get guys open. Remember, Biff Poggi went in there with Michigan and said, hey, let's run this guy, Bryce Underwood. And of course, it's worked a little bit since then for the Wolverines. It's interesting to see what they'll do against USC this week. that's what I would do if I'm kind of on Maryland's side. And if you listen to their press conference leading into the week, their head coach was talking about, you know, maybe we need to try to do what Nebraska doesn't do well, which is run the ball a little bit more. It could be rain kind of factoring in. So both these teams, we'll see how they react to that. Could make for, you know, in a close game, a wet ball can certainly slide things one way or the other. I feel pretty confident about this game. It's interesting. I think it's maybe just the fact Nebraska won last week, found a way to kind of get one out that maybe otherwise in the last several years would have somehow gone off the rails. Nebraska was able to win that one. As the week kind of goes on, I think I feel more confidence. The one question that you do have, again, is pass protection. You know, Maryland does have, that's where they do particularly play some pretty good ball, is getting to the quarterback, and Nebraska's had that problem. So I think you're going to see a few drives stall, you know, come up stall because of that. But I think Nebraska's just got more horses in the stable to make those big plays. We'll see. It could be big again from Isaiah Hunter with one or two shoes, but certainly Ja'Cory Barney, Emmett Johnson. I feel like those guys can make the difference in this type of game. But I'm very intrigued too to see how much the rain does factor into it, or the weather, whether that might be, if there's actual rainfall or not. Because both these teams have said in the past, have said even in this game week, like I was saying about Mike Locksley, Amy, maybe we can run the ball more. I don't trust him. I don't trust Pep Hamilton over there at Maryland, and I don't trust Dane Holgorsen over here at Nebraska. Though Nebraska's closer to a 50-50 run-pass balance this season than people would expect. Maryland is not. So I think this could be a thing. And Dana Holgorsen just said, you know, heading into Michigan State week, I'm not going to do something that's not working. I'm not going to give the ball, you know, to Emmett up the middle just to say we're running the ball. I'm going to get my playmakers the ball one way or the other. So I think if weather is a factor, it could become to, you know, which coach can call the best game for their team as well.
If weather does become a factor, they don't want to run the ball. We haven't done it successfully recently. And again, sack yards factor in. Emmett's actually averaging over 6 yards per rush. They're top 25 in stopping the run in the country, 24th, 101st. So we're better at running the ball than they are. They're better at stopping the run than we are. So that would be interesting if weather does play a factor. You watch Kenny Dillingham with Arizona State this week. By the way, you told me Jeff Sims is going to start.
That's correct.
You said he has. It's his second year at ASU. Their starter is out. Sam Levitz is out. He has 0 pass attempts on the year, 3 carries for like 20-some yards, you told me right before we came on air. So I wish him nothing but the best. That'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete, big arm. Maybe he can put it together. Maybe he can't. 6 year of eligibility. Guys get to play for eternity now. I'm a little jealous, but there you go. If weather becomes a factor, I don't even know who that favors, if I'm being honest with you, because it takes a little bit of the speed and the athleticism out of the equation, which actually might help them. But again, we have the advantage physically. We're also a little bit bigger. I don't know who that favors. That'd be interesting. So you mentioned we throw the ball 57% of the time. All right, run it 43% of the time. And I want to say it's like top 20 in the country. They're top 5 in the country when it comes to pass attempts. Maryland throws the ball in 63% of their snaps. But again, we're only allowing 4.6 yards per pass. The lowest in all of FBS. Okay, combine that with the 31% opponent success rate through the air. And this could be a potential nightmare matchup for Maryland, because they are a one-dimensional offense, and they're relying on a kid who was in high school a year ago. I just got to see it to believe it, because Michigan State's not a good football team, and in the third quarter, we were behind. I got to see it to believe it. I want to sit here and say it's not going to be close. I hope it's not. I'm going to tell you my prediction. I told you early in the week I was going to predict Maryland, did I not? Early in the week. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you were
starting. I was going to predict Maryland. I did put out a prediction earlier this week. I'm going to tell you right now, I've changed it. And it's a one-score prediction still. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope we just blow them out the water. But I'm nervous, and I got to see it. We are phenomenal in the first and fourth quarters. The second and third quarter, we're the opposite of phenomenal. And I've got the stats here. I don't even want to read them. I've already talked about 27-9 over the two Michigan teams combined the past 2 weeks in the fourth quarter. The first quarter, we also had the advantage. It's not as, since game one, it's not as drastic. Second and third, it's pretty drastic the opposite direction, especially the third quarter. I think we've only scored once in the third quarter all year. And let's just say other teams have scored multiple times in the third quarter. So the halftime adjustments have gone the way of the opposing coaches, but the fourth quarter has come back and bounced our way. All right. When you look at some of the best defenses in the country, Nebraska's in the top 20, 16.2 points per game that we're allowing. No real reason I'm going to mention this, but Florida State's at 20.8. I don't know why. Cincinnati's at 20.8, just because they're one of our previous opponents. All right, another former Nebraska quarterback has played a little ball this year, Chubba Purdy. I really like this guy, but he's struggling just a little bit. QBR of 18.8, one touchdown, eight interceptions for the Nevada Wolfpack. They have not been the same since Jay Norvell went to Colorado State, and he hasn't been their head coach. And he was frustrated with the lack of things he had at his disposal, though. They weren't equipping him with what he needed to win there. And so he left, and they have not been the same since. All right, see if I got anything else I want to get to before we get out of here. Nope. Let's head to, oh, here's one last thing. Julian Sain's like, and remember, he was the number one quarterback the year that Dylan came out. So he's a redshirt freshman. He redshirted at Ohio State. Dylan plays a true freshman. He's a sophomore. He has the highest completion percentage of any quarterback in the country, over 80%, and he's starting to get into some Heisman talks. I don't know if that sustains. You know, they also have the number one defense in the country at Ohio State. I mean, it's ridiculous how good they are. I do have their stats. I can chat about them. I don't know if Husker fans are that interested. But if you look at some of the quarterback grades from week six last weekend, Julian got an A+. Nico got an A. Luke Altmaier, Nico Iamaleava got an A. Luke Altmaier got an A-. Preston Stone, Northwestern's quarterback, who, by the way, beat UCLA earlier this year. A-. Drew Aller, B+. Desmond Williams, Washington's quarterback, B+. Malik Washington, Maryland's quarterback, B+. Bryce Underwood, B. Dylan Raiola, B. Aiden Childs got a C. He was coming into that game versus us completing over 70% of his passes. Michigan State as a whole completed more than this because their backup came in and actually played well, but Aiden himself completed 39% of his passes versus our defense. All right, we got a whole lot more to talk about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.